I would like to read from Acts and chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 28 up to
30.
Over, so that we can address this other situation that I want to, I would like the church to understand. Amen. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Amen. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about, that's not our sermon for today, but I'm treating this other situation. One brother came to me the other day, and he said, Pastor, you were talking about you heaping blessings to yourself and are not receiving any. Because I mentioned the other day that brethren don't seem to want to take up some of the needs around. So because there are needs and pressing for other brethren, I take them up myself, and then blessings come to me and you go without. And then you become jealousy over what the Lord will be doing to me. So this brother came up and he says, Pastor, I was talking to my wife. Said, we've been looking at what you were speaking about, and we decided to believe that there's something behind all those words. And they felt like they wanted to take part of it so that blessings will also be shifted to them. And this particular brother said, I know it is possible. Not the same brother. He says, because when you were asking people to pay towards the convention we had in August, the brother comes to church here, right? So he said he felt he must pay, he must contribute $900. So he did it. So that same week when he went to work, one of his bosses came up and said, I see you are very hard working. I just want to give you $900. Did you lose anything? No, he never lost. Because he was giving it to the Lord. For the Lord's work. And God gave it back. Amen. So it actually works. This is why I read about this scripture in the book of Acts. When news came to Jerusalem that there was a famine in Judea. So the brethren at Jerusalem started contributing towards the needs out there. So we know that we are writing another book of Acts, right? And we know it can work out. Amen. God owes no man nothing. I want to clarify that I'm not speaking in the way the Pentecostal people do in pulling for money and milking people for money and nothing goes back. Some people have lost their houses, some people have lost their cars, and they lost their money, and that never came back because it was the preacher who was milking it. It was not by faith. Is that right?
Amen.
So, me, I'm talking about your faith. I'm not talking about pulling money. I'm talking about your faith. If you do everything by faith, whatever you do by faith, God is going to bless it.
Amen.
Amen. And we are not going to be announcing here that Brother So-so has done this, Brother So-so has done this. You do it and no left hand will know what you have done. And that is actually scripture. Amen. So we want to give you the prophecies. We must always give people the opportunity to give. Because sometimes you want to do something and you do not know who to do it to. But I believe if you're in a situation like that one, we're able to direct you or direct whatever to the needy. And it is going to work out right because that's your faith. So this is no, we're not forcing anybody, but this, we're dealing with what is called free will offering. Amen. Okay, the other time I told you, I met this brother from Tucson, Arizona. He was a pastor. He's late now, gone on to be with the Lord. So I told him, brother, why don't you come to Zimbabwe? He says, no, me, I don't go to Zimbabwe. I go to Kenya. So I said, what is the problem? What is the difference? So he said, I felt the Lord pulling me to Kenya. Now, if a person says that, you don't compel him. Amen. Then he told me what was happening around him. I mentioned this one time. When he went to Kenya, he visited several churches. And he felt he must give a Voice of God library to each of those churches. So he came back home to Tucson, Arizona, and he told the people about the vision that he had. So he said, I'm going to put a list on the notice board of the different churches. You just identify by faith which church you would want to support. So that they would buy books and tapes from Voice of God Jeffersonville, and as one big container, it would all ship to Kenya and distribute it accordingly. I thought that was wonderful. They've been doing it for years. I never checked again, but that was working actually very well. The other time, we also put up a list on our notice board. I believe we're still at Railton. About missionary areas where the brothers were going, and some took up some of these areas, and they're supporting the ministers who were going there to preach. Some got a bit tired, I believe. Maybe also because of the dollarization, they got affected. So I was thinking we can still do the same. Before I read out this paper I'm going to read, I'm going to put it on the notice board so that you can pick whatever you want to take care of, so that blessings can also come your way. Otherwise, I'll continue having all of them. All right. But let me read the scripture before I start. I'd like to read from the book of Acts and chapter
20.
I'm reading on verse 35. The Bible says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to read another scripture in James in chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. A lot of people are not given, or they don't feel that they want to give out. Because maybe they say, yeah, our economy is not very good, so if I give out, what's going to happen to me? But you know what? Believers have nothing to do with the economy. We're not even worried about the economy. Because our God is not affected by economy. Our faith currency does not depreciate. If you use dollars, we can understand you. But that's not our Christian currency. Our Christian currency is faith. Amen. Some of you that have done economics, or you know a little bit about finance, what is the best time for you to invest? Is it when money is all available everywhere, or when there is no money? You don't know? All right, I'll tell you. When all shares are so cheap because the economy is so low, that is the time you invest, because when the money comes in, they all shoot. Did you know that? So the pastor can also teach economics, right? Oh, brother, how can you say that? No, I think I'm right. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to put this on the notice board. We have a number of areas where our brothers are going to preach. You can go tick it up on the notice board which area you would like to take. So the first area is missionary. Every month we are spending $1,500 for missionary. That is sending our brothers to go and preach different places. So we had to tabulate or cut down so that we show the different areas. This time we are taking care of 18 places. We are not writing the actual name of the place or the name of the brother, so that faith can lead you. Okay. We call area number one, where we spend $100 per month. Area B, we spend $40.
Area B, $40.
Area C, we spending $40.
Area C, $40.
Area D, we spending $40.
Area D, $40.
Area E, we spending $100.
Area E, $100.
Area F, we use $50.
Area F, $50.
Area G, we use $75.
Area G, $75.
Area H, we use $130.
Area H, $130.
Area I, we use $40.
Area I, $240.
Area J, we use $70.
Area J, $270.
Area K, we use $50.
Area K, $50.
Area L, we use $28.
Area L, $28.
Area M, we use $40.
Area M, $240.
Area N, we use $20.
Area N, $220.
Area O, we use $20.
Area O, $220.
Area P, we use $130.
Area P, $230.
Area Q, we use $300.
Area Q, $300.
Area R, we use $40.
Area R, $240.
Okay, these are not areas from Sega, please. We just use the word area so that we can identify which area the brothers are going, okay? So, in case you might ask, how come area H in Sege is 130, but area B is 40?
Same area.
All right. The next area is our helps, where we help some of the brethren with rent and bus fares, etc. So our average per month in that area of helps is
850.
So we also broke it down into the different areas. That's A, B, C, D, E. Depending on which area for the rentals and so forth. The first one is 150. The next one is 140. Next one is 70. 50. And 30. That is per month. Amen. And then many times we have incidentals like funerals and school fees, etc. And over here we've got incidental helps for
1,200.
And we have our young people that's working here. Security, cleaning, and all the different things. We have like 6 by 300. That's 6 people. And the bus fare also is 50 for the 6.
My bus fare actually runs 50 dollars.
And we have building maintenance around here.
We around
3 people at 300 also. And the bus fare is 50.
Bus fare actually $50.
If you want to take our Zesa. Is it still Zesa? But it's 750. And then we buy detergents and stuff to do our cleaning here every time. I believe you can see that our floor is sparkling. Okay, we spend $900 a month for this. You know, when it rains, there will be a lot of mud and everything that comes here. So I believe things will be fine for us. I'm going to put this at the back for at the notice board so that you can choose whatever you want. I would have wanted to read a few more things, but I believe the message has gone home. But maybe what you would want to do might not be on this list. You can always add your list. Then that will work out right, because you know how you are, how you would want to get a hold of your own blessings, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we happy? It's your faith, right? Amen. And it's you that limit yourself. Praise the Lord. I want to say a few things before I come down to the wedding. About drawing prophetic lines for the end of the world. Are we convinced that we're living in the end time? Amen. We are actually living in the end time. And this is why we have this kind of message. To alert everybody that we have come to the end. There's nothing new coming about the world economy. There is no better political ideology that is coming to save the world. There is nothing new in religion that is still to come. Everything is decaying. Everything has come to a shallow end. We talk about relations among the people. It's even worse. We've been overtaken by social media. So much that, you know, the protocols that people normally have is all gone and finished. One time, one family was having, we were talking about their discouragement. They had a funeral. And you know the protocols that we take when there's a funeral, the first people that must be told, and then after those ones, we go to these ones and these ones. You know how it is done? Now, we can never tell people what to do, but when this particular event took place, they just looked for different groups, and that whole message was sent to the different groups, and everybody knew before the actual people in the family knew about it. The elders in the family were the ones who were supposed to tell the younger people, but the younger people are now telling the elders. So it's out. Those things, they don't work anymore. The protocols of auntie who must go down and take care of her brother's family, you know, when they have problems, it doesn't work now.
Kumbaka Nessa, Tetera Uyamu, that is a
Tete is in Australia. If she has to have a real talk, it must be by some other means. But it doesn't work now. So a lot of things that used to work then, they're no longer working. Long time elders used to sit down with the grandchildren and by the fire and talk about this and this. Different stories about home, and but these days they don't work. What we're simply saying, we've come to the end. Amen. Social media has gone viral. We are in trouble. You old people, there are certain things that you kept secret from your children and from the young people, and you only talk about it, you know, just on your own. But we're sorry, those things are no longer there because it's now a subject in school. So even if you are whispering, they already know what you're trying to whisper about. And there's too much that's on the internet. There's pornography. There's dating. Some are looking for their wives on internet and all the different things. The world is gone. But Anderson never checked for Tariro on internet, right? On the knees. Amen. That's how it works. Amen. If it worked first time, it must continue working again and again. This is how we do it. Amen. But last week or last Wednesday, we showed you how Mr. Trump just made a reckless statement. Right? That Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. And they must shift the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He's not an Israeli president or prime minister. But he's an American president. But he feels he's the leader of the whole world. Because America is a superpower. And straight away, when he said it, it was like there were ripples of reactions around the world. Some started demonstrating, and Gaza started to throw missiles and all the different things happening around. Some country says, we are also moving. Some said, no, we don't do that. So the world is now getting divided. Some for this side and some for this other side. Now, when you are reading that, to you is news. Is all right? But the one that knows prophecy, you are already seeing Armageddon setting in order. And there's yet another power which is like silent, and people don't realize what is happening. For a few minutes, I want to tell you about Catholicism. Now, what I talk about is documented truth, right? So it's not like I'm hating certain people. It's not a hate speech. But I told you we went to Kigali. And that is one of the smartest cities or country that I have ever been. You don't feel like you want to throw litter on the street. Because the place is just neat. One day in the week is allotted for cleaning. Even the president leaves the presidential place, and they're all on the street cleaning the city. Even the marketplace is all neat. I know what you're thinking about. All right, but that place is also very neat. These people are coming from a very difficult background of genocide. In 3 months only, over 1 million people died. It was like a racial mistrust, and they had to kill one another. They've got two major tribes there, the Hutu and the Tutsi. The Hutu are the majority. The leader of their country is Tutsi. Right. So, for the 3 months, the Hutus were killing the Tutsi. Not using real guns, but machetes and all the different things. They had some, let me say, green bombers who were trained for that. And they didn't understand anything. They were just killing because of orders. So at the end of the 3 months, something worked out among themselves, and they decided to stop killing one another. So we went through this memorial place where they've got a lot of information of what was happening before. But towards the end of what they were telling us, we discovered something very, very difficult. So we were told that during the time of the genocide, a bishop was sent from the Vatican to be an advisor of the president on how the genocide must be taken care of. And the second thing was an archbishop was sent again from the Vatican City to supervise the killing of the people. This is documented. It's not like trying to paint any church black, but this is it. But the other thing that took place, very serious. The Catholic churches invited their members to come for refuge in the church. And they were feeding them in the church. And later on they were told, why don't you go and take your friends and relatives? They must also come for shelter here. So they all came. And on a specific day, the machete carrying people were invited to church and they slaughtered the people. And they called for bulldozers to push the whole building down and the whole place. Nobody escaped. Now, many times people get to ask questions and say, how can Trump speak like that? He's alone. Nobody else is supporting him. Where is your history? Ahab was the king in Israel. But he was not the spokesperson. The power behind Ahab was his wife. Jezebel is the one that was ruling Israel. Is all right? She was a daughter of Ethbaal. And Ahab thought by marrying Jezebel, he would strengthen his kingdom by marrying a daughter of another king. Is that all right? He did that. But he didn't realize that Jezebel was bringing her own religion. And when she did, she took control. Then she would build whatever temple she wanted in any place in Israel because she was the queen. This is what was happening in history. Amen. In Israel. But what we know is the same picture that we have in Israel that time is the exact picture we have today in America. America was founded on Bible principles. People moved away from Europe because that's where Catholicism was reigning. They said, we're going for freedom of worship. So the Protestant went over to America. So their constitution was built on Protestant lines, not on Catholic lines. But slowly and very surely, Mama came over to visit the daughters. We're talking about Mama Rome. And within no time, you see, we're already reading chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. There was this beast, and now there's this other little beast that is coming from the land. The first one came from the waters. Because that is actually chapter 17 of Revelation. Is that right? Amen. And we're seeing these two horns. political and ecclesiastical powers coming from this other beast that is coming up. President Kennedy was the first Catholic president in America. And that was a signal that she was on the seat. And from that time, every other president who was coming was having thoughts of, was not having his own thoughts, but his, whatever he was saying was coming from the Vatican City. Are you seeing where we are right now? Amen. We are now seeing the power religiously that is leading the world. That is the power that is also controlling the world, world politics. That's the power that is controlling world politics and the world economy. Is that right? So we see where we are right now. We are in a place that we call Satan's Eden. Amen. The first Eden, there was a man and his wife who were taking care of Eden. Is that right? Amen. So Adam was an amateur god. Almighty God was the God of the universe. For 6,000 years, they were reigning over there. But the devil came in, chapter 3 of Genesis. Is that right? And deceived them and seduced Eve. And the devil became the king of Eden. And he started to renovate, in his own language, he started to renovate God's Eden to be his own Eden. For the past 6,000 years, the devil was busy working on this Eden. Amen. God's Eden was an Eden of faith. That was the civilization. But Satan's Eden is not by faith. It's by civilization. Until today, we think whenever you are way up there in civilization, you are the best. Brother, sister, do you know we are getting ready to go to heaven? We must have a change of our bodies. But did you also know that your clothes are not going to heaven? It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. Your elephant shoe is not going to heaven. Your new car is not going to heaven. Even the aeroplanes you enjoy riding on, they're not going to heaven. We're spending more time on things that's not eternal. We must work on the one that's on the inside. That's the one that is responsible to change this outside man. Because we must go. We must leave this place. By the rapture, when we have our bodies changed, we must meet him in the sky. Hallelujah. That is what we believe. But the church has been going through seven church ages. We are in the last one. And after the last church age, we must get into the tribulation period after the rapture goes. But before the rapture takes place, there's a gentle prophet who must come our way with a message to let you know we are going. It's a message to go home. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. How was it in the days of Lot? Lot was in Sodom. Is that right? His address was Sodom. Is that correct? That was his address. Today, the sin that is prevalent in this world has got the until it doesn't have any other name but the name of the city. Do we do that? You know, thieves from Harare, when they travel everywhere else, people say, you are playing Harare on me. So this is not the first time. Amen. We don't have to convince you today that sodomy is all over the place. But this is the day we're living in. This is a sodomite age. People are actually advertising themselves. They want a male partner. They want a similar sex partner. It used to be surprising when it all started. But it's no longer surprising because it's everywhere. But that's a sign. The picture we had in Sodom is right here again. The sin of Sodom is here. It's a sign of the end time. Because when that sin was prevalent in Sodom, the next thing was fire coming. So that is God's pattern. He must do it again now. Amen. But the important thing for us believers is when Lot was busy in Sodom and the Sodomites were on their height, you even know that two angels went to Sodom. They even went to the house, inside the house of Lot. And the dwellers of Sodom, when they saw those angels walking in, they went to knock at the gate and says, we want those guys. And Lot says, no, I can't give you my visitors. I can even give you my two daughters who are virgins. Says, no, we want those guys. That language is not strange to us now, because now we know the world is full of them. Is that true? Amen. But when you keep looking on the same picture of Lot, there's one part that interests us. Amen. Chapter 18 of Genesis. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw three men coming. And when he looked at them, he noticed one of them is Elohim. He ran and he got a hold of him and brought them home, and it was fellowship time. And that man was able to discern what was happening in the heart of Sarah, who was behind them, behind him in the tent. That man that Abraham met was the same one as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It was a time when God took flesh. And he had fellowship with Abraham. Is that right? And after that fellowship with Abraham, the next thing was the promise that was lingering. He put a time limit to that promise. According to the time of life, Isaac is coming. Is that right? To make sure the promise that they were waiting on must have a time element for fulfillment. In our day, God sent a prophet. Amen. And God was repeating Genesis 18 to us again. Hallelujah. And that prophet came in our day. With the same pillar of fire that Moses had, that Paul had. And the pillar of fire was pictured to us in this end time. Is that right? And he would turn and gave his back to the audience and he continued discerning. This prophet was not Elohim, please. Amen. But Elohim took his body and used it. Amen. And that was the fulfillment of that whole scripture. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Son of Man is a prophet. God taking a body and speaking through that body. This is what has happened in our day. And whenever Elohim comes, time limit. Amen. We are being told about the time. The rest of the churches, they were waiting for the rapture. But this is rapture time. We are on a countdown. Very soon we must be going. Amen. I want to read a quote for you. Amen. Sixfold purpose of Daniel, of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. Paragraph 139. Listen to this. There will be two prophets. The 11th chapter. We'll pick that up. Two anointed prophets, like Elijah and Moses, who I think it is. And they will bring great curses after they have seen that they have consolidated and Rome has broke its covenant. That prince, in the middle of this 70th week, it will break its covenant with Rome. Or Rome will break it with Israel. And that will cause abomination to begin to scatter. And there will be a great flood when the Gentile remnant, the sleeping virgins, the dragon, Rome spattered water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandment of God. Rome will do that. A confederation of churches will consolidate them together and bring the Jews into this confederation and bring them back to their own temple worship again. In the thus said the Lord, out of the Bible. And they will have their own church. They are what now? I just caught it just now fresh. Amen. They are now a nation recognized. Is that right? But they have not their temple worship yet. And when they establish the temple worship, the church will be gone. Is that right? God will be dealing with the Jews as a nation. And when they are brought into this confederation, Rome will break it in the middle of the 70th year. Three and one half years will break that covenant with them and cause the abomination that maketh desolation to spread. To the consummation. Then he will take both Protestant and Jews and persecute them. And that time, these two prophets will stand up and curse the earth. That she will not reign in the days of the prophecy. And they will call out of heaven and everything else. Amen. But the part that I want you to notice in this quote is when Israel has its temple worship, the bride won't be here again. Is that right? When God is dealing with the Gentile, the eyes of the Jew is still closed. They won't see the Messiah yet. But when he finishes with the Gentile, then the eyes of the Jew is open. So the bride must be raptured and gone. Amen. Then God is busy with the Jew. 2017. Do you see where we are right now? The eye of the Jew today is on Temple Mount. Is that right? What do they want to do on Temple Mount? And this is where all the fight is right now in the Middle East. They want to control the Temple Mount. Temple Mount, that's where Solomon's temple was. It was destroyed by Rome. We see the second temple was also on the same place. And it got destroyed again. And Israel went into diaspora. When they went into diaspora, then the Muslim came. And they started building that dome. And they told the world that Muhammad went to heaven on a horse from right here. And they say, oh yeah, it was not even Isaac that Abraham had for the sacrifice on the mountain. It was actually Ishmael. Do you see what is happening? Trying to make a false accusation, trying to make sure they find something to support that they are supposed to be there. So the Muslims are worshipping in this place. Is all right? And that wall that you see over here, this is what is called the Western Wall. Amen. All the Jews around the world, they take that wall as sacred. They call it first class mail. If you want to worship God, you go right there. Your request is heard straight away. But that is the only place where the Muslim has got control over. Amen. But the Jew, they want to blow that thing out. And they want to rebuild their own temple, the third temple right there. They've got all the material ready. It will just take a few months for them to finish. The priests are ready and trained. They even have the gowns for the priests ready. And the equipment that they're going to use in the temple is also ready. So this violence or this noise that has been started by the utterance from Washington, brother, sister, we don't know how far that will go. But all we know is the bride is just about ready to go. You won't be here to see the rebuilding of that temple and the worship of the Jews again. So it's a sign we are just going home. May God have mercy. Amen. Israel is a nation on its own, with its currency and everything else like every other nation, and a position and place in the United Nations. Amen. So we are living right in the end time. But we must be going home. Many events are happening today around the world. That's showing us that we are going home. Amen. We better pack. Amen. But how do you pack? Having your relationship with God fixed up. So it's not a matter of going to church, but it's a matter of your personal relationship with Almighty God. Amen. So it's not going to church, it's not singing in church, it's not being one of the officers or a preacher in the church. That is beside the point. For the preacher, is a gift only. But he must be a Christian before he comes up. And when he finishes, he must show to the rest of the people that he is a believer. Hallelujah. That is a very high calling for us. Amen. When people get to step around your toes, your behavior matters. Is that right? Because being a Christian is not smiling at people, although that is very good. you show exactly who you are in difficult times. When you are put up in a corner, you are squeezed up in a corner, then you are going to see what kind of animal that is. Is it a smile or it is a grin? God give us the hard times so that we can prove to the world that we are believers. We want to show everybody that I've known him and that I've got oil in my lamp. I want to keep on burning. This world must know that my lamp is keeping on burning. Amen. Being a Christian is not just aligning your facts right. Even about your life. I'm right because of this, because of that, because of this. No. But the life of Jesus Christ is what has got to be shown now. Amen. Whether you are far away from everybody else, you've got to show that you are a believer. But brother, sister, I want you to be pushed by the idea that the world is aligned. The battle lines are drawn. And every nation is taking sides. They are ready for the battle. But before we have a natural battle, we have a spiritual battle. Greatest battle that has ever been fought for the believer to overcome. Amen. So much you have to overcome. But battle lines have been drawn already. Amen. May God help us. The battle lines are not only drawn out in the city, but they're also drawn in our homes. Where you show whether you're a true believer or not. Amen. When we wed couples here, we're not wedding them so that they can be in the home for 1 year or 2 years. We're looking forward for a lasting home. You love that man despite. You love that woman despite. Some women don't want that man because he's out of job. And some men, they don't want that woman because few teeth are now remaining in the mouth. But when you tell that man, I love you, I want to tell you something. When you get married, the word I love you has no time limit. It's not like I love you now the way you are now only. It's present and future. Because life is changing. Is that right? Life changes. After you say, I love you, and she's busy cooking, and all the hot oil jumps onto the head, and she has no more hair, are you still going to say, I love you? A woman without hair Do you see what it means? I love you despite. So battle lines are also drawn in our homes. Especially this time when pornography is on the rise. Is all right? When the world has developed ways of making any woman beautiful. They found ways of fixing it up until things have to be right again. But despite all that, are you ready to stay with that man? Are you ready to stay with that woman? This is where we are. For the Christian, we read a quote in Kinsman and Redeemer. When a man loves a woman, I want to read that one with you. Amen. So that we can pick it from there and slide over into our marriage. Amen. So when this man loves a woman and marries her because she's just pretty, there's an end to that. Amen. But when a man finds a woman that he loves, he don't know why, but he loves her. And she finds that the man that she loves, no matter what he looks like, he loves her. She loves him. And thus an eternal mate in glory. Death, no, nothing else can ever separate them. Because they are from eternity. And they stepped out into space of time. And will return back to eternity. Eternity has dropped down in a body called time. And it goes right back into eternity again. It cannot perish. Amen. We want to make sure that our children can read this over and over again, so that they can be reminded that you don't get your wife on Facebook. You don't get your wife anywhere else but on your knees. Is that right? When you are a believer and you are very sure that you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, the young man also believes the same. Is that right? Then it means you are as eternal as God is eternal. Because now we know that when you pray, we are going back into God's foreknowledge. We have a normal horizon around us that we have. But where the horizon ends, it doesn't mean that is the end of the world. We might tell you that Mutari is here, this direction. And we ask you to look there. Do you see Mutari? You don't see it. It's beyond the horizon. It's only your eyes that's telling you we're ending right here. But we have life beyond that horizon. There are a lot of things that's happening beyond that horizon. A person has got his own horizon too. Is that right? In your own life, you've got a certain amount of knowledge. That's how far your world goes. You don't go beyond that. Is that right? But God has got a lot of other information beyond what you know. Is that right? When a young man is growing, he doesn't know who he's going to marry. Amen? Because he's only looking at his horizon. But when you kneel down to pray, God is going to pull you from your normal horizon. And he pushes you into another area. And you begin to discover. Is that right? You see a lot of things that you never knew before. Then prayer is what pulls you from your normal horizon. So that you see something else that you never knew before. Prayer brings to you that which you never had before. Is that right? God had promised Abraham one time that your seed is going to be in a strange land. And they're going to be slaves there for 400 years. When Abraham died, he just had Isaac and maybe Jacob right there. But there was no race. It was only a son and a grand one. But you see, when God gives his word, it's not only for today. His word is eternal. It stretches much further than your memory can go. Is that right? So when God gave Abraham that, he had already seen Egypt. And he had already seen the two million children of Israel. He saw them working because he planted it before the foundation of the world. Is that right? So now they were in bondage. They don't see what God sees. But Amram and Jochebed, they started praying. They said, if everybody else does not pray about a deliverer, we are going to pray. So husband and wife, they were busy praying for a deliverer. What did this prayer do? These people, this couple, they knew what God had said to Father Abraham. But they did not have a solution. They didn't know where the deliverer was coming from. But all they knew, if I pray, something is going to work out. And they prayed. So God had to use this very couple. Because they were the ones concerned. They are the ones who knew the promise. They were the ones that were waiting for the promise to come. Amen. So it was through them that Moses was born. And Moses was a deliverer. The miracle took place. Amen. They didn't know much of what was going to happen in the life of Moses. They died only rejoicing that the deliverer has come. Is that right? But when the deliverer came, God had to unveil day after day what the deliverer was going to do. A lot of times when we pray and God doesn't answer the day you want, some people switch off and they say he doesn't answer prayer. Has he forgotten your prayer? Men forget, but God does not forget. But he answers in his time. And when he answers, he begins to open up your answer. until you realize, oh yeah, this is the answer to my prayer. Because man is always prone to forgetting. Amen. But God answers prayer. Amen. God was the one that created Adam. And he knew all that Adam loved. He knew what would please Adam. Amen. And when he gave Adam the wife, he knew exactly. This is the woman that will take care of all his needs and all his desires. Amen. This is how God does it. When you pray, he always answers. And when he answers, he always answers the best. He gives you the best. Your eyes might look at him and you say, ah, no, this is not the best. Because you are comparing him with somebody else. You don't compare your husband. You don't compare your partner with somebody else. Because you're also not like them. Is that true? Do you know of a woman that is like you? No. You are different. So for a husband, don't compare him with somebody else. No. We're all different. But God gives you the best. He always gives you the best. Though you might think his best is not your best, but you have got to tune yourself into his best. Some women talk more than their husbands. And vice versa. Please don't tell him to keep quiet. Let them talk. Let her talk. But this is how God made her. Because if you think properly, with the kind of talk she is doing or he is doing, you're going to find how medicinal it is, even to your situation. Are you trying to imagine? Don't you ever complain that he's too quiet? Because if he begins to talk, if you push him to talk, he'll talk to everybody. All the women around, all the neighbors. Then it's another problem. Why did you talk to this other woman? But it's you that wanted him to talk. You see, the way he is, that's how God wants it for you. Amen. Do you love the Lord? We say a few things about marriages so that it will be good for us. Because when we talk about marriages, we also want you to correct your situation. Amen. But we're so glad this afternoon. I want to read a scripture before I turn to these two. I want to read from the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. From verse 22, I'm going to read. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ.